Hey, and welcome to the Christina Talks podcast. Oh my goodness, I'm not sure how this interview is going to go. Not in a bad way, don't mean it in a bad way at all. I'm about to talk to someone who, on their topic, I've seen them speak several times. They are always so excitable. So this is, I'm thinking this one's going to be fast paced. I'm thinking that we're going to have a good time, which of course is what I love, what I absolutely love. So, with no further ado, let me introduce you to the fantastic Darren Adams from Keep. Hey, Darren, how are you doing? Welcome to the
It's a party.
podcast. Exciting times, hey?
I'm like all Twitter-pated just in anticipation.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. So, Darren, I've seen you speak several times. I know how passionate you are. I know how much knowledge you have. I know how excited you get. So I'm kind of like, I've prepared myself. I'm ready for this. I've known you a while, but a lot of my audience probably they won't know who you are. So give us the quick introduction and yeah, tell us about just very quickly, just tell us about Keith, because that's what I want to chat about really. I mean, you're interesting too. But yeah.
All of a sudden, I forgot the question. Tell me about for the last decade, see, I'm getting too excited already. For the last decade, I have roamed the world teaching people about how to grow their business, primarily by using automation, and showing entrepreneurs small to medium sized things that they can do to be more successful and coaching them and helping them along those lines. So that's been the last 10 years or so. I've been teaching people that through the tools inside of Keep. Keep used to be known as Infusionsoft. So a lot of people were familiar with that. It was a very big, robust tool. A few years ago, they said we need to make it easier and simpler. And so they came out with Keep, which is a simpler, easier version. The whole idea is to get more automation into the hands of more people, because if you can automate things, you can grow your business without you having to manually do that. Because so many small business owners, entrepreneurs, they get into this thing of, I have to do it all myself. I have to, run all this, and then it gets overwhelming, and then they give up, and we don't want people to give up. We want them to be successful. So if we can show them things they can do through automation, then it'll be easier for them.
Yeah. And I think
Did
this
that
is
answer the question?
absolutely,
Okay.
absolutely. And I'm already, there's so many things I want to get into. So it's like, so you said you've been roaming the world for 10 years talking about this. And it's, I feel like the idea of automating your marketing tasks feels like a new thing. Like it feels like people have only just started talking about it the last year or two, or taking it seriously the last year or two, but it's been happening for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, technically, Keep invented this technology 20 some odd years ago. It actually first started, I don't even know how it all, but this guy, this dad, had some kids who wanted to tie balloons at some restaurant. And so he was trying to figure out scheduling and getting there. And that was somehow the genesis for following up emails in the right way. And he thought, I could turn this into something bigger. And so 20 years ago, it was very big and it was involved and it was cumbersome. And as the course of time has gone on, we've discovered more things that people can do with automation. Now, I think it seems more a recent thing because the people that were doing it 10 to 20 years ago didn't shout, "Hey, I'm automating all this. You don't have to, because then it would give away their secret. They wanted to make it look like it was all being done personally by them. And it worked. And those are the things that help people be successful. But now we're discovering more things, because you mentioned marketing. And it's not just marketing. You can automate invoices to go out. You can automate calendar links to go out. You can automate all sorts of things, but certainly the main genesis of it is, and what people use it for is getting people in, automating, growing the list, and then nurturing those people and getting them to the point from A to Z or whatever I guess Z. You guys say Z, don't you? From A to Z, through automation and getting to the point where they're doing business with you.
So why is it that, I mean, I'm asking you a question that I have my own answer to, okay? So I'm interested to hear yours, because when I talk to people about automation, they just kind of like their eyes roll into the back of their heads. They're kind of immediately, we've not even talked about what we're automating yet, and they're already overwhelmed. So Why do you think that happens? Why do you think people are nervous of jumping in and investing in this kind of stuff?
It's any, oh, see, now I'm getting too excited. It is any technology. Our eyes roll around in the back of your head when, like, I ask my kid, how do I, you know, program or how do I find some channel? And, like, I have to go through we have certain TVs that stream different services. And one of the TVs, in order to get some of the services, you have to, for some reason, go through the Xbox, because my son has hooked up the Xbox. And, like, I don't know. Like, how do I do this again? He's like, you just push the X on the controller. Can't you just make it, like, do it like all the other TVs and the normal remotes? And so, but it's that whole kind of thing where if it's a technology we don't understand and it seems overwhelming to us, and we're like, I just can't handle it. I don't want to, you know, jump into that. And it seems, it's sort of like, you know, like the whole artificial intelligence seems a little intimidating. And people are like, I don't know if I want to wade into that because I don't understand it. And if I don't understand it, like I get intimidated trying to program the instant pot crock pot thing in the kitchen. And so if we don't understand it, it seems a little scary to us. Automating is certainly, there's a learning curve, but the whole concept is very simple. It's like drag and drop. You're just putting pieces of a puzzle together. Let me capture a lead here, and then let me connect it to an email that's going to go out. Then I'm going to connect it to another email that's going to go out. And then I'm going to connect it to a text or an invitation to schedule an appointment with me. And if you can, right now, we do all those things manually, and we spend so much time manually sending out emails and manually sending out calendar invites and manually doing all this stuff because we get that. And then it would be so much easier if people could just automate it. But it's the thought of learning how to do that just gets scary to people. But once you learn how to run the instant pot crock pot, and once you learn how to bring up the streaming services through the Xbox, once you do that the first time, whatever the technology is you do, you're like, oh, that wasn't that hard. I can do that. Like running like a phone. Just, you know, learning how to operate a phone and different things. It's second nature. People do it now without even thinking about it. But the first time, someone had to walk you through and show you that, you're like, oh, I see, it's much easier now.
Yeah. I mean, I think a big part of it as well is that people are thinking they need to automate from end to end. You know, and it's like, no, you don't need to. It might, like, just pick, like, what are the tasks that you are crap at, maybe? So, like, for me, scheduling things in Zoom, I'm really crap at. Managing my day. So, like, for me, it is like things like using the calendar link, being able to automate it. I put it in my calendar, or I send you the link. You book in. Now it's in my calendar. Now you've got the Zoom link. Now you've got an email, say, like a reminder, you know, like just that bit. Even if all you do is automate that bit, it's one more thing off the to-do list. And I think this is where a lot of the overwhelm comes in. They're thinking, I need to automate a thought popping into my head all the way through to an invoice being sent. And it is, if we can just break it down and pick the key things, even if you just automated three things off your to-do list that, you know, pop up regularly, you can save so much time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like if someone's a speaker, and they're going to get on a stage and there are going to be 500 people in an audience, and their mind, they're thinking like, oh, I should have some way to capture all these people. And once I capture all the people in my database, I need to have immediately an email to go out to them right away. And then I'd have another email 2 days later. I need to have this automated. Then you send them the calendar. And I need to sell them my product. And I have to then deliver the product in the course or whatever it might be, and get the coaching with it and send them the invoices. And then that's so much. And because I can't handle all of that, I'm not going to do anything. And that's the analysis paralysis thing that we just don't chip. But if you just say, let me just do one thing. I mean, it's coming up tomorrow and I don't have time to do all that. So let me just do one thing. What's one thing I can do? Let me do some kind of opportunity to do a lead capture from everybody in the audience. And then I'll worry about other things later. Or let me just have where I can push a button or I send out an email where people can book a calendar link and book an appointment with me. And let me just send that to everybody on my list. And that's just one step. So it's the, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. That's how, don't get overwhelmed. You can automate 47 steps and you can build out campaigns that will run forever, but don't think you have to do that. Just find, like you mentioned, just one or two things that you're crap at, that things that you could just streamline. and maybe get the most impact for the shortest amount of investment. If I can just do this one little thing, then that will change later. And I'll catch up with these other things later, but I don't have to have it all built out. It'll wait for me. All those people will still be there. I can send out emails or send out marketing automation or whatever I do eventually. But let me just do the one step that'll make the biggest impact short term.
So there's a couple of things I want to pick up in that. So first of all, benefits of automation. Okay, biggest benefit definitely is giving you time back. But like the event thing. So I've got an event. We've run this event before. The event's coming up again a week on Saturday. Now, when I've run events before I entered the world of automation, I would do the event. I'd deliver a fantastic experience for the delegates. I'd be freaking exhausted. And now I've got to do all the follow-up. I've got to do like with, whether it's feedback forms or follow-up on sales opportunities or giving them the resources and all that kind of, and I'm like, I would just want to be in bed, but now I've got to be up and I've got to be doing. So all that stress has now gone. And in fact, we're running into this event, like I said, a week on Saturday. All my onboarding, like all the, you know, the email that goes out the day before saying, don't forget to get out of bed in the morning. You know, the week before, here's where it is. This is what you need to bring. Or like all this stuff, it's all done. Yeah. So the stress that you save, you know, everyone's very aware of like mental health, mental wellness, that kind of thing. And it's like, I think people underestimate a lot of the benefits of automation because they just think time. So, I mean, you must come across this a lot in terms of how people use it.
Totally. In fact, you were mentioning the event thing. I was just part of an event earlier this week, and the woman who was putting on the event, she had this down to a science, and she had it was like a 3-day event. Every day there were probably 6 to 7 emails that went out, just exactly like you said. Hey, we're starting in a couple of minutes. Okay, we're in there right now. We're going next one. Okay, we're gonna come back from lunch break in just a couple of minutes. There were like 6 to 7, and it was so streamlined. But anybody getting that, you know, they were part of that event. They were going to be in that. They knew the schedule. They were showing up for it. And then I realized she does like an event 2 or 3 times a year. She just goes in for everyone because they have different events. She'll just go through and change the name of the event. And they're the same emails. She wrote those emails once years ago and has eliminated hours of work for her. But the biggest benefit is that the people literally show up there because they're getting reminded to show up and they're going to be there. And you think like, oh, that's still a lot of work. Well, it is a lot of work, but a lot of things are a lot of work. I mean, putting on an event is a lot of work. You're going to have to do the same amount of work putting on the event and delivering the content and engaging people and getting all the delegates excited and all stuff. You're going to have to do that same amount of work if 3 people show up or if 300 people show up. So by putting a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of work into the automation to nurture those people to make sure they show up, now your investment in the whole event structure is going to be much better. There are so many times people have told me, like, it's the stress of running a small business. It's this, there's so much I've got to do. And that is often the reason why many entrepreneurs, small business owners throw in the towel and say, I can't do it anymore. It's just too much. I'm going to go back and get a regular job because this is too much for me. But if you could realize, if they could realize by just automating some of the stuff they were doing, that eliminates the stress and the work, and then you can get more done. You don't have to do every step of the way every single time. If you can have some repetition involved in that, then there's going to, you know, you do it once and just automate that same process every time.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to build a business that has value, you need to have structure, you need to have process. And that's all automation is, structure and process. So I think there's a conversation to be had around, so return on, okay, I'm kind of looking at this in 2 different ways. So I'm thinking about the benefits of automation, okay? But if you think about that and ROI of automation, opportunity cost, I think, is like, that's something when I'm talking to people and I talk about the opportunity cost, it's massive, because now like all these people that fell out of your funnel, you've still got them working, you've still got them nurturing, You know, it's the fact that it's people are able to kind of connect with you straight away. And like, where are you spending your time instead of sending those emails, instead of sending those text messages? Actually, I said that what you're doing instead is more revenue generating, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's taking the amount of time that right now, if you don't have automation, you're spending all this time doing this stuff. Instead, if I can automate that, put it over here, now I can focus on just the things that I can do. That might be one-on-one coaching. That might be me doing, you know, personal calls, outreach to people. That might be a mastermind that I'm delivering. And those are the things that are bringing in the income. Those are the revenue generating activities that I need in my business. This marketing stuff over here, the getting people into the thing, isn't generating the revenue. I mean, it is eventually, but the stuff where I'm delivering the stuff, that's where I'm generating the revenue. So I got to turn my attention away from this, automate as much of this stuff. And so I can get over here. And the more you can get into that, the more you can really devote your time and attention to that, then the more value you're delivering, the more people want to work with you, because they say it was a fantastic experience. It was very personalized. It was very one-on-one. I really felt like I got my money's worth. And so you as a business owner are prioritizing, where do I need to spend my time? And really, you got to spend it on the revenue generating activity. You don't need to spend your time on the marketing and the whatever. So set that up and let it run. And then you can, that's how you become the success and the name. And the, I mean, when you and I, we know lots of successful people who command high ticket items for the things that they deliver. And those people are not manually marketing and sending one off emails. They've got that set up so that they can really delve into the stuff they're doing.
I think this is, no one sets up a business thinking, oh, I'm going to set up a business as a life coach so that I can spend all my time marketing. They set up the business so they can deliver on their purpose, you know, and it's like, we don't use, the less we use automation, the less time we're actually doing what we set out to do in the first place. So like I said, there are so many benefits in it beyond time. Just saving time.
Yeah. I mean, like you said,
the lowest thing, you know.
Yeah, it's that's really the reason why so many people throw in the towel, is because I wanted to be a life coach. I have this great gift to be a life coach, or fill in the blank, whatever the business might be. I really can help people, and I want to do it. And then they get in, and they're like, there's all this other stuff that goes along with building a business, and I don't like any of that. I don't like marketing. I don't like invoicing. I don't like keeping track of such and such. I don't like, you know, having a database I'm trying to manage and nurture people and follow the different stages where they are like that. I just want to help people. I just want to get on a call with someone. I want to do a workshop. I want to do a group coaching. I want to do this, whatever the business is. This is what my gift is, and this is where I can make the most impact. But there's all this stuff that I don't want to worry about. And that's what gets in the way. Because, no, like you said, nobody says, I'm really good at marketing, so let me start a business, you know, because you don't think about that. You think about the delivery of what you do rather than the stuff that goes into it. And the beautiful thing is, you don't have to do that. That's what you can set up so that you can do the stuff that you need to do.
Absolutely. I've had people say to me, I've got so many questions to ask you. I can't. It's like every time I'm asking you two questions in one. So, right, let's keep the question simple. Things I've had said to me before, because I work with a lot of startups, very, very early stage. Like they've like registered their business this morning and now they're on the phone to me saying, Christina, how do I go viral? And when I talk to them about, okay, where are you storing your data? We're talking about tools like Keep, automation tools. And there's a cost involved. And yes, we're bootstrapping, we want to keep costs to a minimum, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they're like, oh, but I don't want to pay it because I haven't got a list yet. So what do you say to that?
And I hear that a lot too.
you do, yeah.
The problem with people, we're just going to address the, because like you said, you ask a question, my mind goes in 1,000 directions. Let me just talk about the list. Most people don't have a list because they don't have a list. Most people don't have a, let me exaggerate a little bit here or delve into that a little bit more. Most people don't have some kind of a database listing of all the names and the emails and stuff like that. And because you say to someone like, oh, you know, what's your list? Like, I don't really have a list. And it's primarily because they haven't in their mind, here I have like a paper towel here, and they haven't literally thought in their mind, I need to start collecting a list and I need to start having names and emails that I can jot down. And certainly you don't really want to do it on a piece of paper, and you don't really even want to do it on a on an Excel spreadsheet, but you need
or to make paper towel.
No paper towels. You need to mentally know, I am growing. This is a mind shift you need to have. I am growing a list. That's the purpose here. I'm growing a business, but I can't grow the business unless I have a list. So the list is the foundation here. And I need to grow this list. I need to have it every time I meet someone and I think, oh, that could be someone I could work with. I need to know immediately I can put that name somewhere. And the people who don't have a list don't have a place where they think they can put that name. And so they meet people and they start collecting business cards and they just randomly go through. And then it's just like this hodgepodge of nothing because they have nowhere to put them. So you need to have a, I'm going to call it a database or a CRM rather than a list, because it needs to be a little bit more organized. You need to have a place those names go. So now every time you meet someone, you're like, oh, that could be a potential client. That could be someone who could be money to me. I'm putting them in my list. And it might be slow to start, but like after the first week, clearly, you know, 10 people that you could put on a list on your database. And then there's the mental shift. And now every time you meet someone, you say, oh, this could be someone. And then someone gives you a business card and you pull out your phone and you take a picture of the business card and it instantly goes into the database. Or you have an opportunity to do a webinar or some joint venture or something or other, and you let people know, hey, go to this landing page or go to this place. And now everything is driving toward growing people on the list. And that doesn't ever happen until you get a place to put them. Because if you don't have a place to put them, you're not putting anything. And then a year later, you're like, yeah, no, I still don't have a list. Because you don't have a CRM, a database or something like that. Christina, you're getting me too riled up. Too early here, but that's the shift. You got to think, you've got to have a place to put them so that it can grow things.
I was talking to a client this morning. They've not long started working with us, and it was like our first, so that they start working with us and about 6 weeks in, we kind of have a mini review of like settling in meeting. Are you getting everything I promised you? Because obviously what I do, social media marketing, is intangible, right? So I made all these grand promises. Is it actually happening as you thought it would? I mean, we're talking about things, and she said something, and I was like, hold on a minute. What are you using for your email marketing? And she told me. And then I was like, okay, so how many people have you got on your list? And she's like, oh, well, it's really grown, actually. And she gave me the number, and we're talking less than 200 in this database, and that she's been in business for about 3 years. And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking that doesn't add up, because I know some people she's been working with, organizations, I've been at events where she's spoken. I'm like, it does not make sense that she's got less than 200 people in her list. And I'm like, what other software are you using? Like, what are you using for your CRM? So she's got one piece of software for that she's paying for, one piece of software for email marketing, and another piece of software for CRM. And so she's got all, like a massive amount of data in her CRM that she's not emailing on a regular basis. And she's overwhelmed because things are not happening as quickly as she wants them to from a commercial perspective. She's got too many systems to use and everything's working in silos. And again, this is something, I mean, you must see this all the time as well.
Yeah. Remind me to talk about the email, regular emailing. Okay. Cause I have something I have to share stuff like that. Yeah, but, yeah. But it is so that's what happens when you have this tool over here that's doing this and this tool over here that's doing this. And you've got, you know, lead pages up here and you've got your MailChimp down here and you've got some, you know, all these different random tools and they're not all connected. And it's, you're spending more time trying to connect them and transfer information. And you don't even know what to transfer over here. And you don't have the resources. And that's when things just aren't clicking and the cogs aren't meshing together and everything working. If you can get everything in the same place, then you say to people, Maybe you're speaking at a live event, or you're, you know, whatever. You say, "Hey, I'd love to be able. I have a free resource, a lead magnet," or you post something on social media, and you know, I have something. Click on the link in my bio, and then that takes them to a landing page where they enter their information. That instantly goes into your CRM, which instantly triggers an email that goes out, and instantly has a campaign and a follow. And now it's all working together. And now you're not manually having to go back in and say, "Oh, I have three people. I got to get out of here, and I got to transfer information over in here." And if we can mesh. I mean, that's the whole point of what Keep is all about, is putting everything in one place so you're not having to connect all these different things and make everything just work together so it's seamless. So that, yeah, because when you said 200 people in a database, I'm thinking like, oh, okay, I know people with 200 people, but I don't know people who have 200 people that have been in business for 3 years and that have been actively working and growing. You should have significantly more than 200 people. That's when the gears are just not connecting. They're spinning on their own and nothing is connecting with each other.
I always say it's like, you know, when you go to like Alton Towers here, I know, Disney World, let's say, okay, and you've got the guy walking around with the bunch of helium balloons and they're all shiny and like, and the kids are like, "Wow, I want one. It's like, I think what happens with tech in business sometimes is we see these shiny tools and we end up with all these shiny things, but no one's got hold of them at the bottom. They're all just floating independently. And what happens if you let go of a balloon? It just floats off into the distance. And it's like you've paid for it. You're paying for it, but it's out of reach. And therefore, you're not getting the benefits. Whereas if you just got one and it's tied on and it's secure and it's, you know, it's stable, then actually it's like everyone's like attention is on you then because it's working.
Yeah. I love that. That's like a brilliant analogy. Do you use that all the time? Because that like is it. That's like wonderful. Because that is exactly what it is. Rather than have a whole bunch of balloons that aren't connected, let's just get one big balloon that we can actually harness the energy and make it do work for us. Right? It's sort of like all the different balloons on the Up House and the Disney, you know, cartoon, whatever like that, and all these different random balloons. No, wouldn't it be easier if we just had one giant balloon that could lift that house and didn't have to worry about that? That's the benefit from having one tool. It's all connected to each other, but it's not even connected. It just is the tool where everything. I often wondered why. Well, I know why. 20 years ago, back 20 some odd years ago, when Keep was first around, and it was a very big, robust tool, and a lot of people came and then said, "You know, you don't need all of those different things. So we're going to start making the individual small balloons. And look, it's a little small, tiny balloon that's quaint and great." Like, oh, we're like, "Oh, it's a cute little balloon. I want those." And so businesses specialized in, we just do little small balloons. We're just going to do this one little thing. And then that's the problem. People are like, "Oh, I like this small balloon. I like this small balloon." And then they get into the problem. And I'm like, you know, you would have been better off just getting the real balloon to start with rather than trying to get these little tiny little individual pieces, because you're really going to need, more than one or two little small balloons to make this work.
Absolutely. So the reason I use the balloon analogy quite often is marketing-wise, people are doing things like, they've read all the books, they've listened to the podcast, they've heard people like me talking on stage, and so they're posting on social media, and they're writing blogs for the website, and they're doing this and they're doing that, but they're not, like, they're putting articles on their website for SEO purposes, but then they're not sharing it on social media. And then they tell me, email marketing wise, they haven't emailed out for 3 months, and I'm like, wait a minute, you've got all these blogs on your website, did you not think to tell your list about them? And the reason I'm saying that is because you said you wanted to talk about email and like how often we're sending. And I think this is a big thing. Like, so many people, especially early days of business, because they go to social media, they're actually producing a shit ton of content that they can pick from and use in their email, their marketing communications via email. Yeah. So, and it's, you know, there's always this question of regularity.
Yeah. And for a couple of good reasons too. You were mentioning that I've spoken to at events where the people often tell me, I can't email that regularly because I don't have content. And I literally did exactly what you did. I went to their websites and they have all these podcasts and blogs and posts and all this content that they're producing, they're creating, and it's sitting there hoping someone's going to stumble across it. And people really don't. Whereas if you could just chop that up into bite-sized pieces and send it out, you'd be way better off. So let me tell you about some of my favorite email marketing tips. First of all, you should be emailing at least once a week rather than once a month. Because a lot of people say, I don't want to bug people. I get a lot of emails and I don't want to be like that person who sends a whole bunch of emails. And so I'm only going to send an email, you know, once a month or once a quarter. If you're sending an email once a month or once a quarter, there's a chance that the person getting it is going to say, like, I don't know who this person is. I don't remember signing up for anything, and they're going to delete it and might even report you as spam because they don't know who you are. So showing up more regularly and more consistently is better for the people receiving the emails because they know who you are. They're like, oh yeah, here's this other good stuff. I'm used to getting this. This is something. Now, the technical reason why you want to do that, the Yahoos, the Googles, the Outlooks, the email delivery people, and the people that are like your inboxes and stuff that you're delivering to, they're going to see these emails coming through. And they say, okay, here are some emails coming from Bob. And Bob doesn't email very regularly. And so when we send these emails on, we're going to let people know you don't get emails from Bob very often. And so we're probably actually going to send these to promotions or spam or junk or something like this because you don't get stuff from Bob too much. So the more regularly you send emails, the more the Yahoos, the Googles, the all those people see and like, oh, here's another batch of this email that people like. We're going to send these and make them get them delivered into the inboxes. Another thing is don't email to people who haven't opened your emails in 90 days. If they haven't opened your emails in 90 days, some people even say 60 days, but then once again, the Yahoos, the Googles, the Outlooks, whatever, they look and they say, you know what? Bob is sending a whole bunch of emails. And a lot of these emails are not getting opened. So they must not have a lot of value. So we're going to send all of Bob's emails to junk spam folders and stuff and not get them in. So in your mind, you're like, no, I have these people on my list. Just because they haven't opened in 90 days, they might still open. They might. They're probably not. And the worst thing is when they don't open them, it hurts your ability to get into the other inboxes of people who really do want to get your stuff. So keep your list healthy. If people do not open your emails in 90 days, sorry, just don't email your regular emails to them. Keep your list, the emails that you send to people that are opening them, and then your email deliverability rate goes up, your open rate goes up, all those numbers go up. And then the Yahoos, the Googles, the Outlooks say, oh, Bob is sending really good stuff that people like. We're going to make sure that gets into the inboxes. So although people say, I don't want to bug people, you need to mail regularly, once a week, more than once a month. And you need to make sure you're only emailing to people who are opening your emails. And that guarantees that your email deliverability rate will be what you want it to be.
You know, when people feel bugged by email, I think quite often it's because where it's being sent from, they're not managing things in terms of segmentation and personalization. So they're going, I've got this email campaign, I want it to go to everyone in my list, and I've got this email campaign, and I want that to go to these people. And so you end up, you're the person that's in the different pools that's getting every freaking email. And that's when it gets annoying. But that only happens because you've not organized your data.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know Rob and Kennedy? Do you know them? They're email marketing heroes. They're up in Newcastle on.
Oh yeah, I've never met them, but I do know of them. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Great. They're great people, and they taught me something as well. And they say if you email everybody on your list without segmentation, exactly like we're talking about, if you email everybody on your list, you're actually doing more damage than good, and you're actually making your list unhealthy, because exactly like you were talking about, if you're not segmenting, maybe somebody's a life coach, maybe someone's a fitness coach. That's easier to do.
Yeah, so they're a fitness. Talking on the life coaches now.
That's right. That's right. So they're a fitness coach. They want to help people get in better shape, and so they have if the way to do it is to say, who are my like men versus women, because you would send different emails to those different people, or maybe people over the age of 50 or under the age of 50, or people that want to get skinny, or people who want to bulk up and look bigger. Those are all important segments of your audience that you need to know. And if you instead send emails to everyone and you're like, hey, this is going to sound... Well, I was going to say it's swimming suit season, and guys, as you're getting ready to go out to the beach, you need to make sure you look great in your swimming suit. And so I've got this program that's going to help you bulk up and look fantastic. Now, if you send an email to some young woman who or some young mom or something who's trying to lose the last 10 pounds of, you know, baby fat or something like that, that's she's like, well, that isn't for me. He's teaching someone how to look big and bulked up guys on the beach. And so I delete those emails because he's not talking to me. He's talking to someone else. And so the more emails you send to the wrong segment, the more you program people, train them to delete your emails because they're thinking that person doesn't have anything for me. So if you can segment that and you can say, I'm only going to send, hey guys, here's the program for you. Hey, ladies, here's something that you might be interested in. Hey, people who want to get smaller and lose weight, here's a program for you. Here's the program. Hey, for you people who want to bulk up, here's whatever. Hey, once you're over the age of 50, your metabolism is different, I guess. Hey, for you, yeah, all that kind of. Now, when I get those emails, I'm like, yeah, they're talking to me. This is information that I want, and I open those emails. So when you segment the list and make sure, because you've got... If you don't have the data, you have the potential to get that data when you're signing people up.
But you can use automation to get that information after they've signed up.
Right? Right?
Beauty.
Yeah. So don't use it as an excuse like, well, I don't have the information. Then use the automation. In fact, I don't know if you know Lee Gardner. We met him at an event.
Yeah,
so Lee Gardner, he's a financial advisor kind of thing and helps people when they retire. And one of his segmentation things that he just recently did, and this is what he did, because he didn't have the information at the start with these, I really want to know in my list who's ready to retire right now, who's going to retire in 10 years, who's going to retire longer than 10 years. So he sends out an email with a little drop-down menu saying, hey, just click on this so I can know what area you're in. And now, because he didn't get it when they started, but now he's able to segment that with follow-up, nurturing, letting people know, giving people the opportunity to segment themselves in his list.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Do you know, I love email marketing because there's so much power in it. So much power. And people think it's boring. They're like, oh, yeah. Isn't that a bit, social media is the big thing. And don't get me wrong, I love social media, but your social media presence is there to feed your list so you can do marketing emails. I don't give a shit how many impressions you get, what your reach is on a post. You can go viral. Doesn't matter. If you haven't built your list, if you're not feeding information out to the people in the list, it's all a waste of time.
And yeah, I always get frustrated when I talk to people and I say, like, how big is your list? And they say, well, I have, 10,000 followers on
whatever Instagram, the social media. Where no one clicks on a freaking link anyway.
Right. Like those, I hate to hurt your feelings. Those aren't your list. They might follow you, but you don't know. You don't control that communication at all. If I'm going to send an if I post something on Facebook or Instagram or something or LinkedIn, I just have to hope that people are going to stumble across, that someone's going to be on whatever that platform is that given day to read that. And if not, guess what? They're never going to see it. But if I have those people in my database, in my CRM, and I can control that with email, now I send an email out. Now, guess what? I know they're getting that information because I physically sent it to them and they have it in their email inbox and they can read it. So you own the conversation. You own the communication. You have the stewardship over that when they're in your inbox, when they're in your email list. You don't have that. But like I'm like you. I absolutely love the social media because that is... I don't want to say it's like the trap, but it's like the door. It's the doorway, the portal to let them come into your community. And you put it out there. It's like a billboard. It's like a sign on the side of the road. You're like, oh, that looks interesting. I'm gonna turn off here or something. That's critically important. That's a great way to get people in. But you've got to get people in so that you can own the communication afterwards.
Yeah. So owning the communication afterwards, again, a big... I've got this great slide, okay, when I'm speaking on email marketing topics, and social media as well. Actually, I use a similar set of questions, and it's like I've done everything you've said, and I'm still not getting results. And I go through, and it's things like you're not being personalized enough, you're not being human enough, you haven't segmented your data's old. And then the last question, the last thing is, have you followed up?
You know the phrase, the fortune's in the follow up. Uh-huh. I mean, that's where it is. You're talking about slides. I use a slide as well that talks about the average sale. Most sales take five follow ups. At least five follow-ups that you reach out to someone and you ask someone, hey, here's a way I can help you. Hey, here's a program I have. Here's how we can do business, whatever, five times. But yet the majority of us stop after one or two and we don't get, and then we can't figure out, hey, it's then that same thing. It's not working. I can't figure out why it's not working. It's because you didn't freaking follow up. That's the problem. How hard is this for you to understand? It takes five times to get the sale, and you're stopping after one or two, and then you can't figure that out. And it would be very, very, very difficult for you have to manually follow up with all those people. So you don't have to manually. That's what you do, the email follow-up. That's how you nurture people along and you build these campaigns. Because that's, if you're not doing that, then you can say, oh, well, it's not working. Well, okay, then we'll look into other things. But all you have to do is just keep reaching out. Just keep nurturing, letting people know, here's who I am. Here's what I can do for you. Here's how I can help you. Let's do something together. And sometimes it takes one time, and they're like, they're totally ready for it. And there have been people that have reached out to me literally years after a first encounter. And they come back and they're like, you know, I've been thinking about this for years. I've been struggling with this and that. And I really need to do some of the stuff you're talking to me about, and let's move forward. So sometimes it happens quickly, but most of the time it takes a longer time to make that happen.
But again, if you've got the information there, you know, you, first of all, you've got the information. So you've got some data to read. You know who to follow up with. So like, we can see who's opened it, like who's opened it, who hasn't opened it. Well, the people I'm expecting at my event, if I can see they didn't open the reminder, now I've got another opportunity. What am I going to do? Like, send them a text message instead, or get on the phone to them maybe, send them another email potentially, because it just landed in their inbox at the wrong time of the day. I don't need to bother the people that have seen it, because that's just going to annoy them. They've already seen it. They don't need the same email again. You know, so it's like, it's just being able to see that data and do something with it. But also in those situations where someone has come, you know, it's been a period of time, being able to go back and say, actually, we've sent them all these emails, and these are the ones they opened, and these are the ones they didn't, and these are the ones they clicked on, and these are the ones I remember someone coming back to me, and they'd got our weekly newsletter, and they'd been receiving it for about 2 years. And all of a sudden they replied to something, to one of the weekly newsletters, saying like, could we have a call? Brilliant. Fantastic. But then I went through the history, and it's like every time they click, like 9 out of 10 times, if they clicked on a link, it was to do with LinkedIn. So guess what I talked to them about in the early stages of that call, when I'm trying to do some rapport building? You know, it's like there's so much information that can be held when we implement this stuff correctly.
Yeah. I'm even doing some work with another platform. They do assessments. So anytime anybody's coming into a live event they might be doing or whatever, as they say, you have to take this assessment, and I'm going to ask you some questions. And there are several questions, and people like taking the assessments because it lets them even become a little more introspective and answer questions about themselves, and they learn things. And it's great. But the best thing is now that person who sent the quiz out, the assessment, knows all of the information. They know exactly what you're talking about. What are the things that they struggle with the most? What are the areas they want to learn most about? And now when they get on with the to put them in the right kind of an email automation nurture, they're like, oh, LinkedIn, we're going to send them all the Facebook, we're going to send them all the stuff, Instagram, whatever. So This is the whole knowledge is power thing, and it gives you the power, but knowledge is power only if you act on that, and if you can have the right kind of follow-up to go after it. You could look at it all day long and say, oh, they're interested in LinkedIn. That's really interesting. Oh, yeah, they're interested in LinkedIn. They're really interested in LinkedIn. Put that away. It only gives you the knowledge, the power, if you then say, okay, let me nurture them through automation with the LinkedIn stuff.
Yeah, I was talking to someone in a similar situation, and they told me, "Well, I've been trying to reach this person on Instagram, and they're not responding." I'm like, "But all the data says that LinkedIn is where they play. So why are you trying to message them on Instagram? You know, it's like we've got a. It's one thing looking at the data. People that have they've started on email marketing, they're getting into it. You know, and I have how many people's on your list, and they can tell me what's your open rate. They can tell me what's your click through rate. They can tell me. After that, it just goes because they've read the data, but they've looked at the data, but they haven't read the data. They haven't understood the data. They haven't done. They haven't taken intelligence away from it." And I think this is the really big thing, you know. It's and again, I come into contact with a lot of email systems, so MailChimp, Infusionsoft, HubSpot, and obviously I use Keep as well. But what I, you know, it's that ability in Keep to someone's clicked on that link, which is to do with LinkedIn. Well, now Keep can tag that person as LinkedIn. I don't actually have to look at the data. I can just go in and say, who's tagged as LinkedIn? Okay, let's send them this. Actually, let's set something up. They're tagged as LinkedIn because they've clicked on that link. Now they're going to get this. You know, it's like maybe it's just setting up a task. They're obviously interested in LinkedIn. It's now a task for me. So I go and connect with them on LinkedIn. That's the beauty of it all being in one place and being able to understand what you can do with the data.
And it's, you have to understand the people that you're communicating with. You have to communicate with them the way they want you to communicate with them. You can say all you want. So like my wife says, I need you to take out the rubbish. You guys say rubbish, right?
Yeah.
Is that we would say trash.
I mean, take the bins out.
Oh yeah. Take the bins out. And then like, I don't take the bins out. And she's like, I told you to take the bins out. I'm like, oh, I didn't hear you ever say anything. Although she might have said to me, take the bins out. It really is her. I hate to say this. It's the communication deliverer's responsibility to make sure that the communication receiver gets that message. Because as much as you want to say, hey, I told you to do X, Y, Z, and I'm not putting the blame on her for me not taking the bins out. But it would be the same vice versa. I could say, honey, I need you to do X, Y, Z. But unless I know she's gotten that information, and I have to communicate that to her in a way that I know that she's received it, and she has to communicate with me so that she knows I've received it. By merely saying, take the bins out, doesn't automatically make sure I do that. So when you're sending information and you're thinking, why are you talking about this? That makes no sense to anything. So if somebody wants to know about LinkedIn or whatever, I need to make sure I'm communicating that information to them. So if I can tag that and then have the right email automation nurture campaign, just because they clicked on something, I know, oh, now it's LinkedIn. I'm going to send them some information I have about LinkedIn and get them so I can do whatever. So now I'm making sure that they're going to get the message and I'm not just throwing a bunch of stuff and hoping that they hear something, because then that's when you zone out. That's when you don't get the information. So you need to make sure you understand what it is that someone, how to speak to someone the right way, so that when you're speaking the messages to them, they're going to get that. Because it's not their responsibility to make sure they get the message. It's your responsibility to make sure that they get the message in a way that they can understand that and take action on it. Because you can send out things all day long, but unless somebody's actually getting it and understanding it, it's not doing any good at all. So that's one of the great things you were mentioning. If you can tag them inside of Keep, if you can segment the audience, if you can have the right information, then you have a much better chance of them getting the information that they want and they need so they can take action on it.
Mm. Talking about taking action.
Now you're just thinking I'm a horrible person. Like, I don't ever take the trash out, take the bin out, right?
I'm just wondering if your wife can hear you. I'm like, I mean, I don't know what time it is there, actually. I'm not sure, but like, you might not get dinner tonight.
My wife is a wonderful, wonderful person. And I did, by the way, this morning, I just took the bins out. Maybe that's why I think
that's why I was fresh in your mind. Okay, so thinking about taking action. And again, this is something people don't think about with automation. It's not just about automating the communication out. It's about organizing yourself. You know, this is the use when you have, so like pipeline tools. Okay, you've got like, again, Pipedrive and whatever else. But being able to automate when this thing happens, this isn't a suspect anymore, it's a prospect. When this happens, it's not a prospect, it's a lead. And I mean, I remember before I used automation for pipelining, like every Friday, the whole afternoon, I was there, like updating things, moving things from column to column, all this stuff. And again, like, I don't want to do that shit. It's like I just want to look at it and go bang, bang, bang. Yeah, I know where I am with all my deals, and that's it. It's that thing of, you've had the sales meeting with them now. Now you've got a task to make sure you actually send the proposal. It's that meeting happened. The next morning, there it is in my inbox. You've got a task. Go and do this. Or you log into your CRM like you should do every day, and there it is on your dashboard. Go do this. If you get it right, I'd say you don't even have to write a to-do list. That's not true. If you get it right, the urgent stuff on your to-do list is there presented to you.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the great things about Keap is that it's not just email and automation and the CRM stuff, which is all those things. But the two things you mentioned, one I love is like the tasks, like a to-do list. So every morning when you log in, it will say, here are the things that you need to do today. And some of those based on some of these things could be you made a note saying, here are the things I need to do today, and here's my to-do list. But some of those things just automatically generate from automation that's happened, maybe part of a campaign, and someone needs to sign up for something and they haven't done it, and you need to physically reach out to them, and it'll remind you to do that so that these leads aren't falling through the cracks. But the pipeline is just it's just an amazing tool. And most of the time you would only get that through like a pipe driver, an expensive other add-on. But pipelines are built into Keap too. So that now you can go in and you can say, here are all the different stages of my business. Here are my, like you mentioned, here are my leads. Here are the people I've had a discovery call with. Here are the people I need to have an additional call with. And you can track all of that. You can see all of that. And even as you do it, maybe you have a discovery call with someone and then they're ready for whatever the next step is. You can drag that little person to the next column, and then that triggers automation to go out. And so then that's exactly what you said. Like the email goes out, and you don't have to then say, okay, I just had a discovery call. I need to send a follow-up email to them and talk about what are the next steps. And so now let me sit down. Let me write this thing. No, you just drag the person. I'm finished with the discovery call. Let me drag them into the next column of the send email out. And it happens. And it does it so that you don't, because Christina, you and I both know there's so many things that you have to do, and it's overwhelming. And the more you can get off your this is what we talked about at the beginning, the more you can get off your plate and automate, then you know those things are happening and you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, and I think people wait till they've got I want to wait till my business is established. Or there's no point in me investing till I've got a team and all this stuff. It's a bigger freaking headache to organize it then. When it's just you, if you are so like this event I've been doing, the first time we ran the event, I said, right, we're going to do it all in Keap. So it's a new business. We're going to do it all in Keap. So literally, like every email I sent, I was doing it all manually the first time. And as I was doing it, I was building the automation. So I've written my email. Okay, now it's t a template, copy paste. Now it's in the automation. So the second time the event ran, it just ran, and this is when there's like one, two, three, four people. It was four of us now, and that but it's so much easier because when you've got a team of people, you're thinking, okay, well, I do this bit, and but then that means that they do that bit, and that, and the thing is, all these automations is that they're you can edit them at any time, so it's not like you've done it and that's it. It can never be changed again. You can pause it. You can add that extra step in. It's so flexible. But we just need to get started with it. And like, honestly, I'm like, if people are listening to this and going, yeah, but it's not for me because I'm the only person in my business, your first hire is probably going to be a virtual assistant. Your virtual assistant needs to know the process. So there's the process laid out for you in your automation. But equally, having the automation means you don't need the virtual assistant till probably that time further on. And the software costs way less than the time, effort, and money of a virtual assistant.
Yeah, and this and everything we're talking about is really These are foundational tools. This is how these are the first steps of building a business. If you're serious about building a business, don't ever say, I'm just starting so I don't need a CRM. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. I'm just starting so I don't need to have any kind of follow-up going on. Guess what? You're going to be starting forever because you're never going to be able to do it. These are steps that I don't know what kind of, like, you have to have legal documentation when you start a business or something, or you have to have, you know, whatever, business license. This is like that. This is the equivalent of a business license. This is stuff that you have to have so that we were talking about at the beginning. So as I get new leads, now I have a CRM to put them into. As I get those leads, I now have automation that's going to nurture those people. There is the only kind of, because oftentimes people come to me and they say, when is the right time to start with Keep? The wrong time to start up with Keep is if you don't think you're going to be doing this. If you're not really committed to this, if you're just saying, hey, it's kind of a hobby for me, I'm not really sure if this is going to work, I'm just trying it out. Well, then in that case, maybe not. But if you're committed and you say, yeah, this is what I'm doing. I've burned the ships. I'm here. I'm committed to making this work. Is that a phrase you guys use, burning the ships? Do you know that phrase, the Vikings?
Not sure. It's kind of familiar.
Like the Vikings, maybe I shouldn't say this. I think they were probably invading England, but I think they came over and then when the Vikings was bringing a sore subject, like, who dare go talk about that?
That's it. No, I do know.
So like, we're committed. We're making this work. We're so committed. We're burning our ships because we can't retreat and can't go back. Anyway, but the whole idea is, if you're committed to making it work, this is a foundational tool. Everything we're talking about are things that you need to do to help you be organized. You got the CRM, your email marketing, your automated campaigns, mobile app, pipelines, calendar tools, all of these. I was talking to someone yesterday. She said the two of the things she tells every small business starting out, you have to have an email server, you have to have a CRM, and you have to have a calendar tool. And those all three are built into Keep along with a bunch of other things. So these aren't bells and whistles that are optional. This is the foundation.
Yeah. Jay, it's really, really funny. It's whilst we've been talking, it's coming to my head and I'm saying it out loud so I remember it because I want to use this. Obviously we're both fans of Keep for obvious reasons. But using a tool like this, if you could start a business tomorrow and you could have a full-time, you could have an assistant available to you, not only full-time, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's going to cost you £90 a month. You couldn't afford not to have that.
Right, right.
And it is as simple as that.
You know, I thought you were even going to ask a different question. I thought you were going to ask if you could have Keep or you could have a real part-time assistant, which would you rather have? And even in a case like that.
I love my team. Before I say this, I freaking love them. But Keep all day long.
Right? I mean, you don't have to worry about personalities or anything with an automated system. You don't have to worry about reminding someone 20 times, like a real person in the office. With Keep, you tell it once and it does that forever. And it's a fraction of the cost of what a real person would be. And it's more reliable and more consistent. And like you said, literally for under £90 a month, you have basically a part-time employee that will never let you down. That once you tell it what to do, it takes care of stuff.
Is that how much Keep is now? I've said that 90. It is about that when people start up, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe for you. We can pull some strings. So they did. I don't want people to call Keep and say, "Oh yeah, I heard it was under £90."
Christina said,
"Yeah."
We'll sort something out. We'll put a link with the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. We'll pull strings for you and your people. For people that are just calling in to Keep, it is not under £90 a month. For you and your community, we will make something work to make that happen for you and make it all happen. Yeah.
Amazing. Darren, I know you've got other things to do because we're kind of in the middle of the day over there for you. So I just want to say thank you. I knew this was going to be fun, but it's just been like next level. I'm like, there's so much I wanted to talk about we haven't even got into. So this
you're the greatest though. I love it every time I get to come over to England and you're at an event. It's like, you're like this wonderful warm face and friend, like, oh, Christina's here. It's all going to be good. And you are so knowledgeable. You're like this great combination of so friendly and warm, but still like so super knowledgeable. You know, all the secrets for stuff. That's just, there's a magic about you, you know?
Oh, bless you. Mwah. Love you. Yeah. Love you. Darren, thank you so, so much. Best place for people to reach out to you would be?
You can email me at ta@keep.com. Keep is spelled K-E, I think it's on my shirt, K-E-A-P, ta@keep.com. I'll get those emails. That's just the easiest email, and I check that all the time. And if people want to, you can reach out to Christina. She can put you in touch with me too. We'll any way that works, but ta@keep.com is the easiest way to reach me through email.
Fantastic. And, you know, like I said, I mean, you're here sort of, you know, a few times a year at different events, Expert Empires. I know you're at regularly and all sorts of things. So, yeah, just like I say, people should reach out, they should connect with you and then go and see you speak in person, because it's always such a treat. Always such a treat.
I was just talking to my boss. I might be coming in like in a month and then maybe 2 months after that. And then maybe like a month. I might have like 3 or 4 trips I get to make over there before the year is out, which of course I always love.
Well, we're definitely let's actually make time, whether it's a coffee or a beer or lunch, dinner, whatever. Because every time we see each other, it's like, I'm on a stand, you're on a stand, you're on stage, I'm on stage. It's so we actually need to carve out some time face to face. Without people around and actually hang out for once.
I have an idea I'm working on. I'll follow up with you. We'll make it all work, okay?
Amazing. Darren, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me hang out with you and make me feel like I'm kind of cool in the cool kids group here.